Greetings in Christ Jesus, and welcome once again to the Twin Steeples podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Joe Nauman, joined again today by Pastor Neil Radical. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Mankato, Minnesota, and our purpose of this podcast is to share God's saving word with you, to briefly share a devotion with you, and then to speak about the ongoing activity here in Christ's kingdom at Emmanuel. How are you doing today, Pastor?
Doing really well. Always good to do these with you.
Yeah, excited to get into it today. Pastor Radical has a brief devotion prepared for us from Romans.
We're looking at the doctrine of justification today later on in our podcast here. And so I thought it would be fitting to talk about that justification as it's described for us very thoroughly in Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome. We're looking at chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. There's three words there I think that we should focus on today, Pastor Nauman, is justified, reconciled, and rejoice. First of all, justified, we maybe remember from catechism or confirmation class that justified means to declare not guilty, or as I've heard other pastors talk about it, as just as if I didn't sin. That's how God looks at us through the blood of Christ, even though we know clearly from this section that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. We have been clothed with the righteousness of Christ, just as Jeremiah the prophet pointed out, just as we're reminded through the New Testament apostles, we are told over and over again, this justification comes not through our merit, but as we're told here from Paul's letter in Romans 5:10, we are saved by Jesus' life, by his death on the cross, by his paying for every one of those sins to justify us through that declaration of God saying now that we are innocent. We are free from condemnation, as it says in Romans 8. We are reminded that we are now saved through that blood, and that is a glory that we can continue to give thanks in. So we were once enemies, and we are reconciled through this blood of Christ. That means that we are brought into now a peaceful relationship with God, who once deserved his wrath and his anger for our sins. But because of this peace we have in Jesus, we can, as Paul says here, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, because we received this peace through the life, death, through the blood shed, that perfect blood of our Lamb of God to give us that confidence of our eternal life in heaven. So three big important words: justified, reconciled, and rejoice. And rejoice is a big word because it's difficult to do from day to day. And I'm thankful for these verses because they're great to reflect on the confidence we have in our salvation, not just through Jesus' death on the cross, but through his victory over the death itself to give us that promise of eternal life in heaven. So three important words. I know I went through those kind of quickly in those verses there, but I'd like to hear any other supplementary thoughts you might have too, Pastor Nauman.
I always appreciate in these verses the speaking about not only how we are saved through the death of his son, Jesus, we always think of we're saved because Jesus died on the cross, but also in verse 10, you see at the end, we are saved by his life. So it's not just the death of Jesus that saves us, but it's also his life. Everything he did from conception to grave earned salvation for us. We call that his active obedience, how he never sinned once, always did what he's supposed to do, never did what he wasn't supposed to do. And through that, we are also saved. So it's not just what he did on the cross, which is obviously very important as well, but it's also his act of obedience where he earned that righteousness. So now when God sees us, he doesn't see us as the sinners that we are. He also sees us through the lens of his son, Jesus, and we are now saved by his life.
Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for this justification of our sins, and what a blessing it is to know that in your eyes, you have forgiven us and you have promised us love and forgiveness. And we are now reconciled to you through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for sacrificing your dear son for every one of our sins against you. And we thank you for the confidence in this resurrection from the dead, which promises that we will live also. Help us to rejoice today also in this eternal life that is ours. And as we continue to run this race of life, Help us to fix our eyes on you, Lord Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Continue to give us this joy also as we share our faith with others and the wonders you've done for us. In your name we give you thanks and praise. Amen.
Amen. All right, a number of announcements and reminders to throw by all of you listeners today. Today is Wednesday, January 27th, 2021. This evening, we are having a fellowship discussion at 7 o'clock p.m. So normally on Wednesday evenings, we have our online Mark Bible study. But this week, we are going to postpone that because of the pressing issue that we have regarding the teaching of church fellowship and what's going on with that. So please, that'll be in person. Most of the discussion will all be happening in person. We're also planning on live streaming that as well for anybody who is unable to attend in person and still wants to get filled in kind of on what we believe and teach as a church. And the goal of it is basically to kind of get all the questions out on the table and see what answers people want to what questions, and basically see what we believe the Bible teaches about this important doctrine, and to hopefully answer some of those questions. And if it needs additional meetings, we will certainly do that as needed. Coming up this weekend, we continue our family Sunday school lessons. We did that this last weekend, studying Jesus, boy Jesus in the temple, and we had a really good discussion, and really appreciated the people coming and the opportunity to study God's word. It's neat to kind of take a look at a lesson that maybe you learned in Sunday school and you know, you haven't thought about in a long time, and maybe apply it to our adult lives as well. And, you know, we mentioned how we're saved by Jesus's life and our devotion there. And that was kind of part of the emphasis this past weekend, was looking at the life of Jesus as well. So hope you can join us for that. Again, that's 7 o'clock following service on Saturday evening, and also at 9 o'clock before service on Sunday morning. Coming up fairly soon in the church calendar, Lent will begin on February 17th. That'll be Ash Wednesday. Again, February 17th, Ash Wednesday, which is a communion service. So we're working on putting together a series for that. So pray you mark that on your calendars and keep that in mind going forward. We had our voters meeting this last Monday, which would have been the 25th. That was the second part of the annual voters meeting. We concluded our business and accomplished all the work that we wanted to do. So that meeting was adjourned, and we expect to possibly have another voters meeting coming up fairly soon to be calling for the school positions that are open. So please watch the bulletin for upcoming notes on that. In connection with those school openings, likely you have heard by now, Mr. Sherm Carsonson resigned his call at our first annual voters meeting. He asked to be removed from our membership at Emmanuel and from from his position, obviously, as teacher as well. So we ask that you continue to keep the Carsons and family in their prayers. That wasn't an easy decision for him to make, but we certainly still love the Carsonsons and want what's best for the Carsonsons, and pray that the Lord would continue to bless the Carsonsons. if you have any questions about that, obviously, we do not want to encourage gossip or rumor. Part of the reason why Mr. Carson left was this discussion on church fellowship that we're going to be having this evening. So if you have more questions about that, we invite you to come to the meeting tonight or speak to one of the pastors. We do not encourage gossip or rumor things, speaking behind people's backs in that way. Finally, our prayer list for this week, Miss Marie Meyer, that would be Grace. Grace, formerly Meyer Schreier, sister, is dealing with cancer. She lives over in, is a member of our sister congregation in Red Wing, Minnesota. So we keep her in our prayers. We also continue to pray for Carla Omanson's sister, Lori, who had surgery last week and was supposed to return home yesterday. I hadn't heard if that actually happened or not, but Carla had told me that she was supposed to get home yesterday. So we pray that that happened successfully and that she's able to continue healing according to the Lord's will. Which brings us to our doctrine of the day. As Pastor Radical already mentioned, that doctrine is justification. How do you possibly hope we can get this entire justification discussion into one brief podcast?
Well, I got an idea for this, and you might not like it. So why don't I Why don't we talk about justification with 2 points? And I'll play the antagonistic, which means what I'm about to say I don't agree with, and then I'll let you kind of defend it, just like if I was questioning you. So there's most of Romans is about justification. And why we've been going through these different doctrines in this way is one of the things we're trying to get them back on our website. I'm getting excited, and we talked about in Bible class several months ago that we're going to try to get more of our beliefs on our website. So we're getting closer to that. But that's part of what the podcaster is doing here, because we want to do a study on different doctrines and teachings of the Bible. So justification, you see it throughout the whole Bible. But again, just 2 points I'm going to challenge you on today, Pastor Now, and I know you'll hit the soft toss out of the park here. So the first thing I'm going to say against justification, or we can look at this as like a false doctrine about it, is the idea that God justifies sinners in view of their faith or because of a better attitude on the part of those who are saved. So what I mean by that, if I believe this teaching, I would say to you, Pastor Nauman, I believe that I'm saved because, you know, I accepted Christ into my heart, and I believe that I'm saved because everybody's got some good in them. You know, there's some people that are totally horrible and wicked, and they're going to be condemned to hell, absolutely for sure. But God looks at me, and I want to follow Jesus. And so I believe I was saved, you know, when I was, you know, 12 years ago in my life, and that seeking after God is what ultimately has brought me to rejoice in what my Savior has done for me, and I'm saved because of this attitude that I have about my Lord. I mean, of course, He loves me because of that.
Well, the first thing I would just say is, what is the object of our salvation? What is it that saves us? Is Jesus the object of our salvation, or is our faith the object of salvation? Because that's where it can get a little bit confusing. A lot of people, you know, we think we're saved by faith. And it's true, we're saved by faith, but we're saved by faith in who? We're saved by grace through faith. Faith is like the conduit that brings that grace to us. It is the work of Jesus Christ is what saves us. So if we rely on our faith as our Savior, all of a sudden it's all the onus is on me to have a strong enough faith. And that's where you get people worried all the time, right? Is my faith strong enough to get to heaven? Or am I able to do this on my own? And that's looking to the wrong source for salvation. God reminds us very clearly in His word that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none who does good, no, not one. I was brought forth in sin and iniquity. My mother conceived me. The Bible is very clear that there is, Paul says, I know that in my flesh, nothing good dwells. And so the problem with the attitude that you're bringing up there, Pastor, is that there's something in me that chose God, or some feeling or some attitude that was good and reached out to God. And that's taking the object of our salvation away from Jesus to ourselves. And it's relying on faith or on some good inclination or some spark of goodness inside of us that reached out to God and chose Him. When really, it's completely the work of Jesus, what He's done for us, His substitutionary atonement that has done that. And even the work of faith in our heart is not something that we have done. Jesus made it clear, you did not choose me, I chose you. And that's why in the Lutheran Church, we've always been we're always very careful to use language like accept Christ, or when I chose Christ, or that when were you saved, things like that. We're always a little bit more cautious and careful. Not that you can't use those in a right way, or in a right understanding, but it's something to be careful about, because a lot of false teaching can be hidden behind those simple words.
So one quick response to that first point there. So we have reformers, you know, around the time of Luther and after, like you think of like Arminianism and Calvinism, that look at the other side of that. So you just directed that idea of that, okay, if we're not looking at our own faith as what saves us, but then if we're looking at perspective from God, obviously God has chose people to go to heaven and go to hell, because I mean, like John Calvin would say things like that. The Arminius group would say things similar to that too, that so obviously the Lord looks at this goodness in people because He chooses some to be saved and some to go to hell. Right.
So what you're getting into there is TULIP, which is the Calvinistic doctrine. We agree with the T of TULIP, which is total depravity, that all mankind is born in sin. But the problem is we're taking our logic a little bit too far there. As you reminded us in our Romans section there, that we are justified by Jesus' blood. We were enemies. We were still sinners. We were opposed to Him. by nature. And so is there some good in us? You know, the simple biblical answer is no. And the clear biblical answer is no, there is no goodness within us. While we were still enemies, that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. You know, a dead person has no ability to stand up and take a drink of water or reach out or do anything on our own. It's completely the work of God. It's completely his work of justification for us is what saves us and is what redeems us and wins us heaven.
So you're saying that God wants everyone to be saved then?
I agree with Paul. God desires all men to be saved. Yeah. And the point that you made before is, well, it seems logical to us, right? If it's like choosing a baseball team, you know, on the playground. Well, if you choose this guy, that means you didn't choose the other guy, right? And that's what that's the simple logical trap that's easy to fall into, and that sadly many people have come to the conclusion that God chose, because he chose some to heaven, that means he chose everyone else to hell. When the simple truth is, you know, how many people did God save? God desires all men to be saved, and he did save all men. The only sin that counts against people on the last day of judgment is the sin of unbelief. All other sins were paid for. Now, when they suffer eternally in hell, that punishment will be just as if they're suffering for all the rest of the sins anyway. But the sad thing is Jesus already paid for those sins. Through Jesus' work of justification, he saved all people. And sadly, when some people come to the conclusion that, well, God only chose some, he only chose some to be saved and the rest he condemned to hell. Well, if you come to that logical conclusion, the next logical conclusion is, well, if God didn't choose some to heaven, why would Jesus die for those? And the next conclusion is limited atonement, which is another one of those tulip words, which is that Jesus didn't die for all people, but only for some people. And all of a sudden, if Jesus only died for some people, well, how can you be sure that he died for you? And all of a sudden, the whole doctrine of justification is completely wrecked and destroyed. And that wonderful comfort of the gospel of universal justification for all people is toast. And all of a sudden, there's no comfort and there's no assurance in the gospel.
So I hear you're saying is God has died for everyone. Jesus died for everyone on the cross. God desires everyone to be saved. So ultimately, God gets the credit for our salvation, but we would be to blame for our rejection if we rejected that salvation. That's what you're saying.
That is what I'm saying.
So the second point that I want to ask then would be, one of the biggest Christian groups today talks about that we're justified by grace infused. You know, in other words, our works, it says in James, is a part of our faith. So how do you explain that when so many Christians today would say that God, we're justified based on our works?
Yeah, a lot of people take that section from James and do, frankly, some poor exegesis on it. They do not understand James in light of all of Holy Scripture. And James was writing to Christians. That's what we need to remember. He was writing to people who were already saved, who believed in Jesus. And he's saying, look, your works now need to reflect the faith that is in your heart. And he says, good works follow Christian faith. So if we see someone and there are no works present, there certainly would be reason for us to question whether there is faith present there. But you know, Paul makes it clear in Ephesians that we're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works. And in Romans, he says, if it is by grace and is not of works, otherwise grace is no longer grace, you know? And so it can't be, through our works. And it's completely the work of Jesus. And, you know, the group you're talking about there, the Roman Catholic Church, they would say that Jesus' death on the cross removed your original guilt, your original sin, but now you need to make up for everything else that comes, all the other wrongs that you've done for the rest of your life. And this simply isn't scriptural to say that you have any part of your salvation. And once again, it's the same thing of destroying the work of justification, destroying the work of Jesus Christ and taking credit away from him, what he's done for us. You know, one of my favorite things to point to is on the cross. What did Jesus say when it was all over? He said, it is finished. One word in the Greek language, the word is tetelestai. And in the Greek language, there's a concept called a perfect verb. And it means that there's a completed action with an abiding result, an ongoing result. And that completed action is the work that he came to do. You know, we talked at the beginning about we are saved by his life. We are reconciled by his death. His work that he came to do from conception to death was accomplished, to telestai, it is done. And because of that, the abiding result is now that we are justified. We are declared not guilty. We are reconciled to God because of his work. And now we have eternal salvation through him.
Well said. Yeah, I appreciate the way you explained the works follow faith. So works evidence that faith too. I think that was well said. And I appreciate you let me kind of put you on the spot here. I know we talk about these doctrines, but, you know, I think it's important, you know, as we think about Proverbs 27, iron sharpening iron, it's nice to be able to have these discussions like we would have in our normal day life about what people say that might contradict the Bible and versus what the Bible says, especially about justification or anything else about the true doctrine there. So well said there. Our hymn of the day today that we're looking at is hymn 377 from the Red Hymnal, Salvation Unto Us Has Come. And it speaks about justification. It speaks about works. It's based off Romans chapter 3 through 5, a very detailed section there. So I'm going to be reading several verses here, and they all really point to everything we just talked about today in our podcast. So we'll be going through those here. Salvation unto us has come by God's free grace and favor. Good works cannot avert our doom. They help and save us never. Faith looks to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our one Redeemer. What God did in his law demand and none to him could render, caused wrath and woe on every hand for man, the vile offender. Our flesh has not those pure desires the spirit of the law requires, and lost is our condition. It was a false, misleading dream that God, his law, had given, that sinners could themselves redeem and by their works gain heaven. The law is but a mirror bright to bring the inbred sin to light that lurks within our nature. Since Christ has full atonement made and brought to us salvation, each Christian, therefore, may be glad and build on this foundation. Thy grace alone, dear Lord, I plead. Thy death is now my life indeed. For thou hast paid my ransom. Faith clings to Jesus' cross alone and rests in him unceasing, and by its fruits true faith is known, with love and hope increasing. Yet faith alone does justify, works serve thy neighbor and supply the proof that faith is living. All blessing, honor, thanks, and praise to Father, Son, and Spirit, the God that saved us by his grace, all glory to his merit. O triune God in heaven above, who has revealed thy saving love, thy blessed name be hallowed. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on the Twin Steeples podcast. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota. Until next time, we pray that God would bless you and keep you. And may you always remember, Emmanuel, God is with you.